Welcome to Deconstructing Gaslighting, the podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Morales, and today's episode, well, it's going to be a bit different. You know, normally I like to have a very educational podcast, and in season two, each month has had a different topic. And today I'm really hoping for two things with this podcast. The first thing, depending on where you're at in your journey, either providing solidarity and normalization of what it's like to be healing, especially post huge discoveries and betrayal trauma and or having post-traumatic stress, those kinds of things, PTSD. I also hope that for some, depending on where you're at, it will be a picture of inspiration and hope. And then the second thing I was really hoping to do today in this podcast is just to connect with you, my listeners. So I would love to invite you, whether you're taking me on your walk or you're sitting down in the morning and having a cup of coffee, to just imagine that we're sitting down together and having a conversation and me opening up and wanting to connect with you as I share some of what's been going on with me this past week. Tuesday, March 19th. I put the final touches on my next speaking opportunity that's going to be at a summit. And the theme of the summit is post-traumatic growth. And my title, I No Longer Fear the Storm. Now, irony can be a bitch because on Wednesday, the very next day, so Wednesday, March 20th, a bomb my ex built probably 15 years ago blew up. So today I wanted to talk a bit about what it's been like for me the past few days and the observations I have about all the work that I've been doing for the past 13 years and how it's serving me big time. Now, side note, I will have a link in the show notes to the Daring Ventures Summit that I'm referring to if you have any interest at all in listening to my next speaking opportunity. So just so we're clear, like this is not for me to necessarily go into detail about what the bomb was. I really just want to talk about what it's like. What is it like for someone like me who has been on this post-traumatic growth healing journey when a big bomb goes off? Y'all, I have not had a bomb like this go off in probably 9 years. So it was big. It was a big bomb. And immediately, all while I was learning about what this explosion was shock, grief, and rage, like immediately, those three things. And so the rest of the day Wednesday, that happened about midday Wednesday, and the rest of the day was very rapid cycling between grief and rage. And every once in a while, that shock would still show up. I don't know how many of you can relate to this kind of feeling, but when you're understanding what is happening in your life and you feel like you're watching a movie because one of the dissociation and two, because you're like, this is the shit that is like in the movies. Like, how is this my life? And that's what Wednesday was. That's just what it was. Rapid cycling between those things. At any given moment, I could be feeling rage and then the next moment crying and then the next moment feeling rage. And like I said, rapid cycling. So the next day after learning about this bomb that blew up was really the best way for me to articulate what it felt like I was walking through mud, like deep mud, right? Like not just like a little bit of mud where you slip inside, like deep mud where it's like that makes that sucky noise, right? Like when you try to walk through it, everything felt like it was in slow motion. I was a bit numb. And then when I would reconnect, it was to feel grief and more rage. Just a lot of rage. And that was the majority of how I felt and what my day felt like on Thursday. On Friday, I'll know that thing TGIF. Like I'm going to change it to TGFC, which stands for Thank God for Compartmentalization, because I did a 3-hour intensive. And then I had, within a few hours after finishing that 3-hour intensive, I had more enraging news about my ex that I actually will share. So trigger warning, not super detailed trigger warning, but for those of you who don't know, and a reminder for those of you who do, my ex was arrested. That was my D-Day. The FBI showed up at my house and incarcerated with things that had to do with child pornography, and has been out for a few years. I haven't had contact with him since way before he was released. And he is supposed to be on the sex offender registry for the rest of his life. And I learned on Friday that he has hired an attorney to try to get him off the sex offender registry. And so that was the enraging news. So on top of things that I'd already learned about him earlier in the week, that was the big bomb, then this showed up. And here I am dealing with all of this stuff and having to make phone calls and tell family members and people that needed to know and trying to see what I could do, because this person should not be allowed to be walking around without being on the registry. So that was Friday. And then Saturday, again, we're going to say TGFC, thank God for compartmentalization, because I had another 3-hour intensive, and then more talking with extended family. And then I tried to work, but I couldn't focus, right? I ended up watching videos of my youngest son's percussion ensemble. And that was Saturday. And that brings us to today when I am recording this. So why am I telling you this, right? I'm not like trying to be like, poor me. I want y'all to feel sorry for me and all of these things. For me, it's solidarity. Can you hear yourself and the things that you have gone through in your life post-discovery of something big and hurtful, and where there is appropriateness to feel grief and rage and all of the things? Does it make you feel less alone to know that me too, right? Like, it does not matter. I think this is the misconception about healing and about post-traumatic growth and about resiliency, this beautiful, amazing thing that we call resiliency. None of those things mean that we're not going to be knocked on our ass. I was knocked on my ass, as you can hear. And hopefully, like I said, you felt less alone because of me sharing with you what my experience has been like. What resiliency is about how we are able to deal with being knocked on our ass and how we're able to get back up. And so next bit that I wanted to share with you were things that I was able to do throughout those days, thanks to my post-traumatic growth, thanks to the things that I have learned and worked on and cultivated over the past 13 years. So Wednesday, the day that I found out and the bomb blew up, immediately after I got home, I checked in with one of my besties who has been on this journey with me for a very long time. In fact, she was there with me at the courthouse the day of my divorce. It's honestly one of my favorite memories of a friend showing up, because it was both powerful and comforting. And if y'all know anything about me, it was hilarious too, because I had decided to treat the ending of my marriage as kind of like a funeral. And so I came dressed in all black because I was mourning. Like, this was not what I had dreamed of when I had said I do 19 years earlier. So I came dressed in all black, and she looked at me and she's like, "What's up, Johnny Cash?" I will never forget that. I think I will remember that for as long as I live. So I reached out to her immediately, and we got on the phone. And we talked for probably 45 minutes, and she just held that space for me, and she let me vent all of my thoughts and all of my feelings, and had solidarity for me and felt the rage with me and all of the different things. And then I messaged what I would call my ride or die group, or this is another name that a lot of us have, similar groups of people where it's the I'll grab my shovel ladies and we ride at dawn, right? Like, this is that group of people in my life. And I message them and let them know, hey, y'all, I am going to be needing some support over the next coming bit of time because of this thing that has happened and this bomb that has blown up. And I got all of the encouraging messages and all of course, like all of the just surrounded, right? For those of you who aren't familiar with this story about how elephants show up when one of their own is hurting or giving birth, go Google it, because that's how these people show up. They surrounded me. I knew it. I felt stronger. I felt safer. I felt loved. All of the things that I needed, because I had these women to reach out to. I also was able to check in with a therapist that was involved in the situation. Lots and lots And lots and lots and lots of deep breaths and probably at least a couple of showers and a lot of self-care. And the last thing that I did, and this is all just on Wednesday, was I processed with my partner. Thursday, I had more checking in with my safe people, another check-in with a therapist involved in the situation, and I was able to accumulate more resources to help me get the information that I needed, begin taking steps that I needed to deal with the fallout of that bomb going off. More communication with my partner, especially because I was aware of my high level of trauma and therefore just the physicality of what's going on inside, right? Like our brain body, our feeling body connections are so strong, and it's not out of the ordinary for people that are in high trauma to also be highly irritable. So I made sure I communicated, like, listen, I'm probably not going to want to do lots of snuggles tonight. Like I'm probably not going to physical touch. No. Sounds irritable. Like, just please know this is how I'm going to be. I will try to be mindful, but being able to communicate because I'm aware that, again, even though I'm aware, even though I know how to do all of these things, we still get knocked on our ass, right? But that awareness allowed me to communicate to the people who need to be communicated to. Both Friday and yesterday, I worked. And, you know, I jokingly said, thank God for compartmentalization. But, you know, one of the things that I learned that I loved throughout my journey is that there's actually this really beautiful, cool thing that happens when we are able to be in our place of competence or confidence, or some people might call it their zone of genius. It helps us reconnect to ourselves and reestablish a sense of, I can do this. Right? I can still be me. I'm not defined by the bombs that blow up in my life. I'm not defined by trauma. I am still me. We just can't do it as long, right? Like after those 3 hours, I was done. So it helps reestablish that little bit of normalcy. And it also gives our brain a break of thinking about the traumatic experience and the fear about what might be coming next, etc. Also in those 2 days, I found information that helped me feel more informed and empowered. Friday and Saturday, I also did lots of movement. I went on walks with my little doggy, right? Like I did stuff in the yard, outside, dig my hands in the dirt kind of thing, and lots and lots and lots of self-care. So again, why am I sharing this, right? Because I'm hoping that you can see that I'm just like you. Responding to trauma is a normal human thing, and it's appropriate no matter who we are. We all feel it. We all go through the mud. We all go through the dissociation. And that hope and inspiring part is that we can learn how to strengthen our resiliency and how to recall things that are going to help us move through the trauma symptoms, right? The fog, the confusion, the lack of focus, all of those things. When we work and work and work on our post-traumatic growth, we can move through it differently. And I feel like that goes back to this thing of, I no longer fear the storm. There's a beautiful quote that I actually got the title from that's from Louisa May Alcott. And it says, I no longer fear the storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship. I don't want the storms. Like, listen, none of us want a storm to show up in our life or a proverbial bomb to blow up in our life. But there's a difference between not wanting it and fearing it. And I do absolutely believe I have not feared or felt unable to deal with the things that are happening. I felt equipped. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. Because my life's mission is to help others learn how to sail their own ships, right? Be equipped so that they believe that when they hit a new storm or a new bomb blows up in their life, they're like, okay, this sucks, but I got it. I got this. There's one specific component of what has happened over the past couple of days that I wanted to share, because for me, I can show you a little bit more clearly the different stages of my post-traumatic growth healing. And that has to do with the nature of the bomb and the new information that I got. And the fact that I had to go back to some old correspondence between my ex and myself. And a tiny little bit of backstory was, I'm not going to go into the long story of it or the reasons why, but between the day I had my discovery and when I divorced my ex was about 4 years. And then it's been, 8 years since then. So I'm reading this correspondence and it was almost ridiculous in the present moment of me reading it now in 2024. It was almost ridiculous how much gaslighting I could see just all over the place. So I actually sent some of those, eating popcorn memes, like, this is getting good. I can't wait to hear the tea being spilled or, observe this drama and just be entertained by it. That's how I felt when I sent those memes and as I was reading the correspondence between me and my ex. And my favorite moment might have been when he told me that he had shown my email to some of the other inmates that were his friends and they agreed that I sounded, quote, hostile. And I laughed because the context is my ex was trying to tell me that he wouldn't agree to me having sole custody of my kids as I was serving him his papers for divorce. He thought that when he got out of prison as a registered sex offender, he could fight for and win joint custody of his kids. And I was like, you're batshit crazy. That is not going to happen. And that, I was being hostile. So again, in 2024, even though I may have dissociated a little bit while I was reading those letters, it really wasn't because of the gaslighting that was happening in the letters from him. It was because of the connection to the recent bomb, right? And the way that it was connecting to the subject matter that was in the letters. And here's what I want to show. In my marriage, my ex pulled this same bullshit. And honestly, throughout the entire time that he was in prison and I was still with him before I divorced him, he would pull the same kind of things, say the same type of gaslighting messages. And in my marriage, and probably even the first 1 or 2 years after discovery, before I had really learned about gaslighting, I would have doubted the validity of my righteous anger and fury over his audacity and lack of remorse and taking responsibility, right? It was valid, 100% valid, but I would have doubted it because he threw out that word hostile and because I want to be a good person, like all of the things that suck us in, those gaslighting traps, ooh, I would have gotten sucked in so hard. At the time of the letter, I was about 2 years after having first discovered gaslighting. And so I was well on my way. I was nowhere where I am now, but I was well on my way. I could recognize the gaslighting that was happening. It didn't sway me too hard. There were places that it caused me to doubt. Maybe I am being a little bit too harsh. Maybe I should have said that a little bit nicer, all of those types of things. And it did generate a huge emotional and traumatic response from me. Like within me, my experience of reading those letters, it was debilitating at that time. Again, didn't necessarily cause me to sway or change my mind or go back on what I was trying to do, but it had a huge impact. And then 8 years later, right? Like I'm laughing because it's ridiculous. And I just wanted to point that out to show you again, the difference that post-traumatic growth can bring to your life. I know sometimes people think, will I ever feel free of this? Will it ever not hit me this hard? And me sharing this experience with you guys today, as I'm recording this, is me trying to say, have hope, hang in there. It does get better. You get stronger. Your resilience gets to be powerful. And when new things blow up in your life, they're hard, but you have confidence and you have strength and you have the ability to handle them. So let's take this into what I thought might be able to be a few takeaways for y'all, my listeners today. And that is, again, I just really hope that y'all felt some either solidarity or that you're not alone in what you might be currently going through, or gratitude if you're way past this and not in anything like this, or if you're new and you're still wondering if I'm ever going to have post-traumatic growth, that it would be inspirational and hopeful for you. And then what can y'all learn from my post-traumatic growth journey? What helped me get to this place where I believe that I can steer my ship, where I trust in myself. And number one, support team. Every time I get a chance to talk in a conference or whatever, I say it and I feel like, you know, people feel like it's a trite thing to say, but it's not. Like, one of my besties showing up and my ride or die ladies, they were everything that first day. Our support team is crucial. That can be therapist, coach, support group, friends, family members. Support team cannot be overstated. Number two, self-care. It is crucial. It's not just some, you know, nice little fluffy thing to say. No, it's crucial. Deep breaths, walking, being in nature, all of these things, they are crucial to moving through the trauma and the way that it connects with our body. Healthy distraction or being in your zone of competence or genius. Now, healthy distractions, books, TV shows, like give your brain a break from thinking about the trauma. Permission to function at a lower level, right? That's what I did. I was like, okay, I did my 3-hour intensive. I'm done for the day. I'm going to watch some band videos on YouTube. Right? Like, I'm going to watch my son and I'm not going to think about anything else. I'm not going to work. That would never be my normal day. Along the lines of that is being gentle with yourself. The next point would be good, clear communication with your people that you interact with. And trying to be aware of how your trauma symptoms are exhibiting. And then the last thing is gathering information that will lead to empowerment for you. So those are some of the things that I thought we could learn from my post-traumatic growth and what got me to where I am today. And as I wrap up today, I wanted to let any new listeners know about the many resources that I have on my website, speaking of information, right? And I'll have the link to that website in my show notes. I also wanted to invite you, if you don't already follow me on your preferred social media platform, because I really want to connect with y'all. That's where we can interact. We can actually have conversations in the comments. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Sarah Morales Coaching, and I'm on TikTok as at Sassy Sarah Deconstructs. And again, I'll have those links in my show notes. And finally, I just want to say thank you all for listening to this today, especially this one, right? It feels really raw and really vulnerable, and it really means a lot to me that you're hanging in there and listening to this and sharing and showing up in solidarity with me and what I'm going through. If you found it helpful and want to help me get it in the hands of more people who could benefit from some solidarity or encouragement, please leave a review and subscribe. And additionally, as always, if you can think of one person in particular who could benefit, please share it with them. And today, more than any other episode, probably before and probably follow, remember, you may have crashed and burned. You may have been broken and hurt, but damn it, you're a phoenix and you're rising again. I think it's time we fly. And now Phoenix by Katrina Stone. There's no flicker, there's no flame in you. Think we're playing a game here. You and I are the same, and I need a chance to rise from the ashes. Everybody watching, everybody talking. Better keep on walking, bye bye. 'Cause I don't wanna fall for another lie. I think it's time to fly. 'Cause I crashed and burned and broken, hurt and laid there. Now I don't choke when I see smoke. It only makes me smile. You find me in the furnace. Suffer from the depths, and I don't think I need your blessing to rhythm my wheels only better now. They don't want that new blood, they just want that old love. Hell, you're never enough for you. No, I don't wanna fall for that same old life. I think it's time to fly. 'Cause I crashed and burned and broken, hurt and laid there for. No.
when I see smoke, it only makes me smile.